Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and today we are going to address some of the current happenings in the market, not with any kind of prediction or anything like that, but we're going to talk about, you know, just how to handle declining markets and what you do and how you, don't react, but respond. And we're going to do that. I also want to compliment yesterday. I received so many phone calls from different people saying, hey, I got cash. I want to do something. And so I would compliment you on that because of the one thing that goes on sale is the stock market that nobody wants to buy, but you're thinking the right way in doing this. About 4 years ago, I did a very similar show, and that was when we had the pandemic and the market had, you know, taken a tank, and we were starting to see all that kind of stuff. And I remember back then they said, oh, you don't understand. This is different. Okay, this is a pandemic, all right? And I'm like, well, all right, I guess. I mean, was it as bad as Pearl Harbor getting bombed or Kennedy getting assassinated or, you know, the Berlin Wall erected or Nixon resigning or the crash of 1987 or September 11th or? So markets do things. They always will. Now we've got tariffs, and we're concerned about that. And at the end of the day, the markets can do one of three things. They can go up, they can go down, or they can stay basically flat. And depending on where you're at in life is what you want it to do. All right. So for instance, if you're young and accumulating money, the best thing you can have ever happen to you is for the markets to be flat or even down because you're accumulating money, you're buying. For those of you that were at that middle age or younger during the 2007-2008 period, you had the benefit of buying at a discount all the way to 2012 before it recovered. And so you also had that same opportunity after the tech crash to be able to continue and accumulate. But if you're retired and you see that happening, that's a bad thing because you need it to go up or at least maintain flat so you're not having to sell more shares in order to get the same income off of to live on. And so what you should do right now is just make sure that things are right, and we would be happy to give you a second opinion. And how does that second opinion work? You can visit RoyMatlockJr.com and do a 30-minute phone call. And mostly in that phone call, we're going to take a look at where you're at in life and where your investments are, and are your investments lined up in the same stage of your life. You know, so if you're very aggressive right now and you are at or near retirement and you may have been too aggressive and you've already had some things, you know, it's down now and you're like, what do I do? Well, we have some answers to what do I do. And if you're younger right now, and I ran into a client yesterday that had an old retirement account that was sitting in just a fixed account and they're younger. And so we fix that, get it invested. People are asking me now, should I put it in now? I'm like, I don't know if you should put it in now, but I do have a way to put it in, and more than likely we would schedule it automatically over a period of time. That's called dollar cost averaging. So if you'd like to do a review, a 30-minute phone call with one of our reps, just go to RoyMatlockJr.com, 615-843-2999. You can call and you can schedule that. So we're going to get into it. The first three sections are going to be explaining what is happening. All right. The first one is market declines are part of investing. Time in the market is most important rather than timing. I've seen so many people shoot themselves in the foot attempting to time the market. What we, rather than time the market, we do things called asset allocation, to where we have a certain amount of money in different things. A little over a year ago, I was watching Warren Buffett accumulate cash, and I thought, well, Warren's not stupid, so maybe if he's accumulating cash, he thinks there's something cooking in the future. And so I started moving some of our retirement age, near retirement age clients. We started moving them to be a little bit more conservative. We went into some bonds because bonds were, the yield was up, had come off a terrible bond market. And we even looked at annuities to get some principal guarantee. And then we had the money in the market. So with the idea that we were just asset allocation, we're not trying to time it. We're just saying, hey, let's figure out, you know, over the next few years or maybe the next 15 or 20 years, what is a good plan, all right, to be able to do things. Third thing that we're going to talk about is emotional investing can be hazardous. So the first three sections, we're going to go down the path of market declines are part of investing. Timing is not a good idea, but time in the market. And then emotional investing can be hazardous. And then the second part of the show, which is going to be a little bit more detailed, is let's make a plan and stick to it. I'm going to talk to you about what I would do if you're younger. Now, keep in mind, there's no such thing as blanket recommendations. Everybody has different situations in their life, but you know, let's make a plan. If you're young and you're getting started, and what would you do? What should you be thinking right now? Or maybe you're in your 40s or 50 years old or 55 even, and you're getting near retirement. Why should we look at things like this? And if you're actually retiring and you're living on the income, let's talk about that. And so we'll talk about making a plan. We're going to talk about how to diversify. You know, my diversification plan a year ago for retirees was about a third into a fixed indexed annuity, which had principal guarantee, a third in a bond fund at the time was getting about 6%, and a third in the stock fund, which we didn't know what it was going to do. All right, so what were the choices there? Well, the market could go down, and you say, well, I had some bonds and I had some principal guarantee. The market could go up. Then what's going to happen is that I had some money in the stock market and I had some upside on my annuities and I got, you know, my 6 or 7%, whatever it was on my bonds. Or it could be flat and, you know, I know what's going to happen then. So we're going to make a plan. We're going to diversify. We're then going to look at potentially what are fixed income and annuities, how they can bring balance into your portfolio. And then we're going to talk about staying the course. And what do you mean by staying the course? The market tends to reward long-term investors, so you want to be that way. And so this show is going to be very interesting because I went back to my notes during the pandemic, and some things never change. The markets go up and the markets go down. My name is Roy Matlock Jr., and we are talking money. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com, and we'll be right back.
Visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we're moving into the second segment this morning. And if you are looking at this show, you can also find us, if you're hearing this, you can do it on the podcast at the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. But today is an important show because we're going to talk about, and we've been talking about in the first segment, talking about what's been going on in the market and how do you handle fluctuating and declining markets. And as I mentioned in the first segment, I want to compliment a lot of you for picking the phone up and calling and say, hey, I got some cash on the sideline. I want to do something. And so that tells me that you're learning the game. And the game is that, you know, we always want to have something that we can use when the markets are down, and that gives us some buying power when the markets are down to be able to buy in maybe at a discount. And I don't know what the markets are going to do on the short, but I can tell you what they've been doing on the long, and I'll give you some ideas on that. So over long periods of time, stocks have moved higher. They always move higher, but history tells us that declines are part of investing. Now, when I look at some of the numbers, you've got about 75% of the time, you're going to see up markets and you're going to see down markets about 24-25% of the time. When it goes up, you get about 19%, and when it goes down, you get about minus 12. All right. And if you take those numbers and run them out, it gets about a 10% S&P return forever. All right. So if you take that, That means you're doubling periods over the long and the short. If you leave it in there, your doubling periods average about 7 years doubling. That's 10%. So you can figure in 20 years, a lump sum, not including any new investments, if you were fully in the market, would be about three doubling periods. So every 7 years, it doubles. So if you had 100, it'd be 200. 2 would be 4. 4 would be 8, and so on. And so the good news about stock market declines, which is corrections, or what is a 10% decline or more, that is called a correction. Bears are 20% or more. Okay, they don't last that long. So I'm going to give you some examples. So about twice a year, you're going to see a 5% drop in the market. So it's going to go up. It's going to go down about 5%. The average length of time before the money recovers is 46 days. So if you're out there watching CNBC, I would tell you this is Masters Week. Turn on the golf channel. That would be a much better way of handling things. Back in the days, you know, I've been doing this 40 years, and people didn't have 24-hour, you know, headline news on the stock market, and they would get their statement and see what happened over the last 3 months, because you had to go in the newspaper and read and calculate and do all that kind of stuff. Interesting enough, I had a lady one time that the market went down and the market went up, and I said, you know, I said, you're the perfect client, and the reason is you slept through the downside, and it came all the way back since we looked at it. Her last statement she looked at, I said, oh, well, she had her statement, and she pulled it out, and it was at one point, and then she looked at what it was like 6 months later, and it had gone down and come back up, and I was like, this is perfect. She never looked at the one in between, which is what you got to do if you want to have a long-term success. If you have a long-term mindset, then stop having a, you know, day-to-day mindset. And I hear people all the time, it goes down 10% or more about once every 18 months. So when you hit that, that's going to take about 135 days to recover. The last time that happened was in July of 2023. And so the panic set in, and what happened? All right, 135 days later, it recovered. About every 3 years, you're going to get a 15% decline. That was August of 2022. It takes 256 days on average, and this goes all the way back since the S&P began in 1954. And that, you know, so less than a year. And then about once every 6 years, January of 2022, we had this, and it takes about 402 days to recover. It happens every 6 years when it's down 20% or more. All right. So once you get that in your mind, you say, well, tariffs, they're going to kill the country. All right. Or they're not. You know, I'm not going to politically go any direction. What I know is that most people, when they get fat, they go on a diet. When they get skinny, they go back to eating, and then they get fat again. And then that's the way things work in the stock markets. Pretty much that way when it comes to doing things. So what do you do? All right. The most important thing is you make sure that you have your asset allocation correct. So if you were in a situation right now where you are like a lot of people, you just forgot that you're no longer 40, all right, and now you're 55, and you had all your money in aggressive stuff because you like aggressive until you saw that the market has pulled back on you 15 or 20%. What should you do now? Are you panicking? Well, of course, that's not the best plan, is to panic. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that at this point we refix up what we should have been to begin with. And so there's nothing wrong with reallocating. It's not locking in losses, because we don't know what the market could do. You know, the market's down a little bit now, but, you know, there's a 42% drop by the time it ended back in 2007. Which was perfect for anyone that was investing money. If you were a 401k or had your IRA on an automatic draft, that was wonderful. All of the money that went down like that, it eventually recovered, and everything in between you were making money on. But if you were retiring, you get what's called negative sequencing of returns, and that is bad. And it's a bad thing if you are too aggressive and you have declining markets right when you retire. So if you need help on any of this stuff, trying to figure it out, how maybe you panicked and got out of the market. Now you're afraid to get back in. Okay. Well, we have ideas on how to do that. So every S&P decline of 15% or more, just remember this, has been followed by recovery. So if we go back to the overall index all the way back to 1929 through 2024, if we had a 15% more decline, the average return in the first year after these declines. Now listen to this, guys. The average after a 15% decline going back to 1929, almost 100 years, was 52%. Think about that. 52%. Now, we don't know when the bottom is, but we know if it's 15% or more, 52%. Even missing out on just a few days, meaning you panic, you get out, it will hurt you, all right? So if you take $1,000 in 2014, and it would have grown to $2,869 by the end of 2024, almost tripled. But if you missed 10 of the best trading days, you would have lost 45% of the gain, all right? So we want to stay in the market and be smart, but at the same time, be allocated. Emotional investing can be hazardous. Emotional reactions to market events are perfectly normal. Investors should expect to feel nervous when the markets decline, but it's actions taken during such times that can become the difference between investment success and shortfalls. I remember back in the pandemic, you know, one of the things I've always believed is that if you are given advice and good education, you can make good decisions. If you're listening to the radio, I have done thousands and thousands of hours. You know, I did 3 hours a day, 5 days a week for almost 9 years on the Money Game and given financial advice. And then I've given it here. The one thing that I try to do as a financial advisor is make sure that we take you up to the edge of risk that will make you feel comfortable, but at the same time, we don't put you at such a conservative manner that you can't make any money. The two big mistakes I see are too conservative and too aggressive. It's somewhere in between that you need to be thinking about. And so what my goal is to keep you comfortable, all right? Keep you at a point where you feel good about life in the future and you don't let this stuff bother you. Turn on the Masters this week and stay off of CNBC. It'll probably make you feel a lot better. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. If you would like a quick review, visit roymatlockjr.com or you can call us at 615-843-2999. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. And today's show is handling market declines. If you're just tuning in, this is segment three. The first two segments, we really talked about, you know, what are market declines, timing versus timing, and you know, not being emotional. And now we're moving into the second segment, which is make a plan, stick with it, diversify. Let's look at some fixed alternatives if you're, you know, at or near retirement, and let's get some buckets together of money and have a plan that will ultimately, when it's all said and done, you know, win for you. And it's going to reward you if you know how to navigate. And so that's what we're going to do now. So let's talk about make a plan and stick with it. Creating a plan. You know, I have always believed that, you know, your finances are like, we get in our car and the first thing we do, or we get in an Uber. And, but we get in the car and we say, I don't know where we're going. And, where am I going to go? Where do I need to go? I need to go. I'm meeting somebody at this restaurant, and you put the address in, and this is the G of the GPS, right? And so there's the goal. We want to end up at this certain place. And then the map will say, go here, go here, go here, go here, go here, go here. And that's the plan to get there. That's the directions to get there. That's the P, the goal. Now we got our plan. And then you're going to arrive in 22 minutes. That's the schedule. So if you apply that to your finances with the mindset that the goal is, you know, the financial independence number, what's your financial independence number? Well, the financial independence number is the amount of money you would need to be able to live the lifestyle you want to live, not rich, but the live the lifestyle that you want to live without ever worrying about running out of money again and not have to work. How about that? That's your financial independence number. So if you were saying to yourself, well, you know, for me, I'd like to make 100 grand a year, do nothing money. And typically I say 16X that. You need $1.6 million is your number. If you had $1.6 million today, you could do that. Now you say, yeah, but I don't have that much money. And I got 20 years from now. So we would inflate that FIN number and say 1.6 is probably over 20 years, about 3.2. We would take what you have, apply an interest rate to what your lump sum is, and come up with an assumed rate, and we would give you your goal. We would then come up with a plan of how we're going to do it, all right, and you'll hit your schedule. So that's how we do. We make a plan and stick with it. Now, there's a number of factors which include risk tolerance and what we call short and long-term goals. When it comes to your money, you know, one of your goals, if you're out there right now, is you should pay cash for your cars. I mean, that's just a simple little short-term goal to get your finances in a spot that you never finance things that go down in value and you have your credit cards paid off and all that. And then we go into risk buckets and tax buckets. And that's really kind of what I do is I go find things, risk buckets and tax buckets. So let me give you some ideas on risk and tax buckets. You know, when I look at, you know, different strategy, the three tax buckets are tax-free income. That would be Roths and things of that nature. You can get life insurance policies where you can take out cash value tax-free. And the idea is when the taxable income is high, you can reduce your taxable income by pulling from those. That's a bucket you would pull from. Another bucket on the tax side would be your tax-deferred growth. And what that does is allow you to have money that is pre-tax, maybe your 401k. You can buy one, get one free. If you put a deductible 401k in and you go put 20 grand in and then you deduct it, that's 5 grand. You might throw that 5 grand into a Roth IRA. All right. And now you bought one and you got one free. And if you don't take that deduction, you lose it. And I see people make mistakes like that. The average person will make a number of mistakes, and depending on the mistake, it's between $50,000 and $500,000 in their lifetime. And so what I try to do is keep people from making the bad decisions. You know, the simple ones that you do early on, you think, well, I bought too expensive of a home and a car and I got in credit card debt. That's the young people mistake. But then, you know, the times go further and you forgot about the 401k from your previous job that's been sitting in a money market account for the last 10 years and it cost you 50 grand because you didn't have it invested, or you've got too much money sitting in a CD or a bank account. You know, had one of my CPA referral partners called me up. He says, I just met with this guy, did his taxes, and he had $49,000 in interest income from one bank. And I'm like, man, a lot of that, I mean, that is costly. So you got a tax deferred bucket. You have annuities that fall in there. And then we have a taxable bucket, which is brokerage accounts. They could be stocks and mutual funds, money markets, stuff like that that you have access to, but you pay taxes on. So those are your taxable buckets. Then we go into the risk buckets, okay? And when we look at risk, what we end up doing is we say, well, we have the low risk. That would be your annuities, that's fixed indexed annuities, money market accounts, things like that. I recommend that we have a decent amount of money in that. And if you're retired, typically we'll have between cash and money markets and things like that and annuities, maybe a third of your money. And it provides you lifetime income guarantees. We would go into a moderate bucket. That's going to be some bond funds potentially. maybe some annuities that have some protection tied to it. And then we have our high growth strategy with the goal of having diversified. That might be something across, you know, small, medium, and large company stocks, with the idea that over a long period of time we have stuff that can keep up with inflation. So how do we go about doing this? So we're saying, well, we got three tax buckets and we got three risk buckets. And then what we're able to do is, hey, when's the best time to pull from the tax bucket? Which one should we pull from this year based on our taxes? Which one should we pull from based on the market, what the market's doing? And we do that and we build a plan. And so that's part of what we do, is go out and we build a plan, all right? And we stick to that plan, all right? And then one of the best ways of doing things, like right now, if someone comes to me and they say, what do you think the market's going to do? I'm like, I don't know what the market's going to do. I've never known what the market's going to do. No one knows. Warren Buffett said he doesn't know what the market's going to do. So what Warren has always said is he just tries to buy good companies, all right, that have good prospects. And that's what professional money managers do. And rather than trying to time it, you know what I do? I dollar cost average it. So if you came to me today and you said, hey, got $100,000 and I want to do something with it sitting in the bank, is now a good time to invest? I said, I don't know. But I think over the next 12 months, if we were to bring it in over 12 months, we may get a better idea and we might dollar cost average that money in. And that means that over a 12-month period, we may say, well, we're going to pull $5,000 a month from, say, a money market account or maybe a bond fund that's getting a little bit of yield and stick it into the market. And we do $5,000 a month. And if we have a big pullback, we may pull $6,000 a month or something like that. But either way, we're not trying to time the market. Over a period of time, we're going to get there. If you made a mistake right now and you went and cashed in your 401k or did any of that, then we might, to try to correct that, bring it back in over time, because the last thing we want to do is bring it back in after you cashed it into discount and then it goes down again. And so we stick to a plan, we make a plan, and we stick to the plan. That's the key to getting things going. We're not getting emotional. I'm not tore up right now about what the market's doing. You know, there's moves you can make. You know, if you've got short-term stuff, like say your children are getting ready to go to college now and your college fund's down, take a student loan for a period of time and then you can pay it back. There's so many ways to fix things. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. If you would like a second opinion on your finances, reach out to us. You can visit roymatlockjr.com, and we will be back shortly for our last segment. Roy. All right, we are back, and we're talking how to handle market declines, put a little sense in the markets, and what you should be thinking about. And I want to encourage you, you know, we've got a lot of information on here, and I'm going to try to post most of that to the website, roymatlockjr.com. But you can always re-listen on the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. It's on every podcast, you know, out there. You can get that. But we're going to talk now about diversification. And diversification would be an example. If you had a business and you were down on the beach, you could sell sunglasses when it's on the sunny days and umbrellas on the rainy days. And then that way you have something good happening every day, right? That's called diversification. Or you could just put it all into sunglasses, and every day it rains, you're probably not going to have any customers. So you diversify. And businesses, they do that. They go out and they get into different areas that serve their clients. You know, my business has been, you know, a diversified financial company. What do? I provide defense, which is all of the insurance products. I provide offense, which is all of the investment products. I provide advice and education to help people learn how to set budgets up and set up small accounts for their grandkids and all these kind of things. So I diversified my business. If you're going to have an investment portfolio, you should have diversity. Diversity is across asset classes, and you can figure that there are different asset classes. We got small, medium, large company stocks. We got value stocks. We got growth stocks. We got blend funds where they're a little of both. What's a value company? A value stock would, they would buy, if they were buying real estate, they would buy, you know, a foreclosed house. And they're going to buy the profit and the purchase. They're going to buy outside of the city, you know, with the idea that one day it's going to move that way. And they get all these great deals. My dad had, if you're familiar with it, Nashville, East Nashville, had all these rental properties in East Nashville that blew up one day in terms of price. But nobody wanted to live in East Nashville, okay, when he was buying it. And so you've got that kind of stuff going on. And so then if you're a growth style investor and you're buying real estate, you would buy the corner lot in the best area of town, never get a good deal on it. You're always paying market price, but you're like, it doesn't matter. It's going to keep going up. And then somewhere in between, you'd buy both. And so that's what's called value and growth style. Then you've got U.S. company, U.S. stock funds, bond funds, all that kind of stuff. Then you have international ones. Now, what's the difference between an international and a global fund? A global fund will invest across the U.S. and abroad, and an international fund will not invest in the U.S. And so why do you not want to invest outside the U.S.? I mean, why would you not want a global fund? Well, because, you know, I want one. I want to have money across everywhere. I mean, even though we've got all this trade tariffs and stuff like that, I still believe somehow, some way, Mercedes will sell some cars, all right? I believe that somehow, some way, that you'll probably have some French's mustard, all right? And so what's going to end up happening is you're still going to spend money, and there's going to be companies that are going to do that, from Toyota to Nintendo, you name it, all these different international companies. And so we diversify, and we go across asset classes. And another way you can look at it, stocks, bonds, money markets, those are asset classes. And then from there, you've got small, medium, and large cap. You got short-term, mid-term, and long-term bond funds. And you go across all these asset classes. And if you look at the best performing asset class, what you will find is they very seldom repeat. Early days, when I had a chance to go out to one of the largest fund managers in the country, and they invited me out as a broker to kind of see what they did and how they manage money and all that kind of stuff. They made a comment. They said, yeah, we have a profit sharing plan, and the fund managers, the ones that are actually doing the money, have to let everyone know 3 months in advance where they're going to invest their profit sharing. And one of the guys told me, he said, you know, after about 3 or 4 years, it was funny because it seemed like every year the worst performing asset class was where they put the money in the next year. And so they were always taking understood diversification. And so we do that. The next one is fixed income can bring balance. So to give you kind of an idea, when interest rates go up, bond prices go down. When interest rates go down, bond prices go up. Right now, bonds are giving a decent return, especially considering the fact that in most cases, if you look at what bonds do, all right, fixed income returns were positive in 5 out of the last 9 stock market corrections. So what that means is that the years the stock market went down, bonds went up 5 out of 9 times. You're getting some yield along the way. I also throw in with that what is called a fixed indexed annuity for retirees. What that means is a fixed indexed annuity gives you some of the upside, called a cap or participation rate, and they, generally speaking, have zero downside risk. And so that's kind of a bond alternative. And so one of the things for retirees that I've done many, many times is created Social Security plus something that has a guaranteed lifetime income in it, generally in some type of annuity. And then we have stock and bond funds for the future in the event that we will and always have had inflation. And this allows us to, you know, move a little bit further forward. And so when I look at building plans for people, I always look at, you know, bonds are part of it. They're not designed for the long-term growth. They're designed for a bucket. And that bucket of money is a mid-low-risk bucket, along with annuities do the same thing, which allow you to have balance in your portfolio. And that also allows you to sleep at night. And if you are retired, what we want to do is offset the number one concern there is in retirement, and that is outliving your money. And we want to avoid what we call sequencing of risk returns, or in those returns, meaning what a bad sequence of returns could really hurt you. And what does that mean? That means that you've got your money too aggressive. You happen to retire this year, your money's too aggressive, and now the market is down, and you have to sell more shares to get the same income. And if you do that, then you've got a problem out in the future. And so I can show examples of two different people over a 20-year period. The stock market returned the same thing. The only difference is the original person, they came in on a declining market, runs out of money in 12, 13 years. The other one has more money than they started with 20 years later. And it's all because sequencing of returns hit the wrong direction. So how do you avoid that? You avoid it by having different buckets of money. We have enough money set aside that if we have a big declining market, we're not pulling from that part, all right, because we have other money in other buckets. And so I always try to do that. Now, if you're young and you're getting started, you are right now in a great situation because we're seeing some market declines. I had a client, young client, get this, that, I mean, 29 years old and, you know, making between the husband and wife like almost $300,000 a year. Both of them are high income earners and they've got money. And I sent him a text. I said, wow, this is a great time to be, really cranking it up and doing things. And so what we do with people that are young, I always automate. I don't care who you are, you should be automating. And how do you automate? You automate by setting up your 401k and make sure you get matching funds and at least hit the match. Once you've hit the match, then we make a decision. Should we go outside of there, maybe do a Roth outside of it, depending on where you're at? Do we do some of it deductible and some of it tax-free? We look at that. But the long and short of it, what we do is we automate it. There's two ways to automate. You can have it payroll deducted or you can have it pulled out of your checking account. And I want to address a few people out there that I hear this all the time, especially if you're in sales or you're in a business and you have irregular income. I hear people say, my money's not regular. All right. And so I always ask them this simple question. Have you negotiated that with your mortgage company to just pay when you have money? And they're like, no. Have you done it with the electric bill? Have you done it with any your car payment? Did they just say, I'll just pay when you got some money? And they're like, no. I said, so what you have to do is you have to never violate the most important thing when it comes to money, and that is pay yourself first. And so what we do is we put plans in place like that where we're going to make sure that the plan is in place so we can go out and win. And we automate financial independence. My mindset has always been step number one, let's take a review. If I meet with someone or any of my advisors meet with you, here's how it's going to begin. Number one is this. We're going to find out where you currently are, your assets, your liabilities, what you have going in the good direction, what you have going in a bad direction. And from there, we're going to give advice. We're going to say, okay, here's where you're at. Here's what we should change. Then once we do that, what we're going to do is we're going to work on getting more educated all the time, which listening to this show should be, I say listen to the show because, you know, my goal is to throw information out. You're going to go to some of you may or maybe clients of mine. I have a lot of clients that call me and they say, hey, I heard your show, man. It was great, all that stuff. And I said, well, that's good because I'm educating you. And that keeps you being able to make good decisions when we're in a situation where the market may be going the wrong direction. But at the same time, what I want to do is I want to educate. And then we go in and we start building a plan out. How do you build a financial plan? Number one, we determine a budget. Number two, we go into the defense. I had a client just the last couple weeks, two of them, where they're single in their 40s and they're making good income and they've saved money. I said, look, your only mishap could be you get sick or you get disabled or stuff like that. So we built some defense in, all right, and with disability income or something like that. And then we work on an offense. And how do we work on the offense? We get you putting money aside in tax-deferred things, tax-deductible things, tax-free things. And we do those kind of things. And then one day you wake up and you say, man, it's happening. All right, I've got a consistent amount. And I will talk to people and they'll we'll come up with a plan. I'll say, okay, what can you do? $1,500 a month. All right, we do $1,500 a month. And then we take that $1,500, we go to our marketplace, and from there, we put that into different items, and we automate it. Then what's interesting is once they start seeing it work, they come back and they say, hey, I got $500 more I want to do. I got more, because they get excited about winning the money game. My name's Roy Matlock Jr. We have all kinds of resources at roymatlockjr.com. If you would like to get a second opinion, reach out to us, 615-843-2999. Thanks for listening.